Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Kiss me like you mean it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And is that Pete Donaldson hiding under the desk? Yes, it is. Come out from there, Peter.
You all right?
Yes, marvellous. Better than you, mate, I reckon.
Luke's not here.
Luke's still not here.
I discovered that today. I thought he was in. I forgot to do my highlights of the week.
You were fearing it. Fearing he was in. But don't worry, he'll be posting you his digs, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Do you feel that Christmas is... It's come early.
Yeah, at least he's not here.
Yeah.
To have a go. At least he's not here to have a go. I hope he's having a lovely time wherever he is, though.
Of course
I don't
we
mean
do.
That for a second.
No, not for one second. Maybe a split second, though. Diego Costa threw his bib at Jose Mourinho in disgust.
Yeah.
After he was benched for the game away at Spurs.
I mean, did he really throw it at him?
Can he, in his direction.
He's about as inaccurate as he has been up top for Chelsea. Really, isn't
yeah.
It?
Kind of like, yeah, very much
he
so.
Couldn't even do that right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If anything, that is going to very much hinder you from getting back in the team. If he hits him like full on, gets the bib over his
yeah.
head.
Yeah, Balotelli's him.
Yeah, yeah. He'd be like, that. This is the sort of precision you're missing. But if anything, he's just proving Mourinho right, isn't yeah. he?
It was a test and you failed it.
Yeah.
Back on the bench with you.
Well, if you could throw something at Jose Mourinho, Jim, what would it be?
I thought long and hard about this. And I considered a black hole, a large humble pie, the sea, a facehugger from Alien, an alien from Alien, a dossier of photographs tracking everything he's done in private since returning to England that's been compiled by Arsene Wenger, the voyeur, Carlo Ancelotti's medal that he got for winning La Decima, and the laundry cart he rode in on. But what I'm actually going to throw him is a bone. I would throw him a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People, the original self-help book, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, because he's forgotten how to just make people like him. And everyone in the camp, he can share it around, you know, photocopy it and give it out to them because they seem to hate each other. Mm. I mean, I don't know if you saw Cesc Fabregas kick the ball at Willian's face at the weekend as they played Spurs.
I didn't mean to.
Well, exactly. That's how bad they are. And they're being so bad, they're being frankly unsociable to each other. So they need a bit of help in that sense. And that's what I'd give him. I'd give him a way to kickstart his personality, make those people like him again.
Or just throw him a box of donuts or something and share them around, or some yum-yums from Greg's.
Or throw the sea at him, Jim.
Well, well, I said I considered it. That's not what I went for.
All right, fair enough, Jim. You've had your turn. Peter.
Marcus, when I was at Selhurst Park over the weekend, I don't know whether I mentioned this last week. I did
more
go to
on that later.
Yeah, if we got time.
Yeah.
They were frisking everyone as we were going in. Next to where they were frisking was like a pristine hula hoop that I could only surmise was removed from a Geordie. Dom, check my hula hoop in.
Yeah.
Let us on the pitch. So I would throw a hula hoop over Jose Mourinho. Because it'd be like, you know, on Match of the Day where they put the little circles around the player so you can watch the players run.
Oh, yeah, so he would actually have one.
Yeah, he could actually have one.
And would you
see
win
what
him? If you got it on him, would you win him? Like a fair ground thing?
Yeah, I'd have to take away from Chelsea and everyone at Chelsea would have a lovely time then. Yeah.
Class. I'd throw Rafa Benitez at him.
Oh.
Just launch Rafa at him.
The Rafa cannon.
Yeah. Fire up the Rafa cannon. Yeah. And then we go, boom. And Could you imagine Benitez in midair, hands down by his side, on his way to Jose Mourinho?
Bring on the wall.
If there is any stadium on earth that has a super cannon that could fire things at other stadiums, it's the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
And Benitez's wife, I think it was, always said that they have to clear up Jose Mourinho's mess.
Yeah, so. And then Mourinho basically said she should get back in the kitchen.
True.
Like the modern man
he is. But whatever the mess is on the pavement, Benitez would just clear it up. And it would all be fine. And Benitez would cover him, wouldn't he?
He's a big lad compared to Mourinho. Mourinho's like quite whiff-like, isn't he?
He truly is. I just like to see them both touching each other, not like that, as in against each other, should I say.
I mean, we've got a clip now, so we can use it at will, really.
Really looking forward to seeing how that comes back.
Pete Donaldson, you could ruin our careers, really, couldn't you?
I could launch it.
Yeah.
Like Rafa Benitez in many ways.
In a way, you being on the show, you kind of are.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I'm a stain on your personality and many other people connected with the Football Ramble.
That's right. Let us go to the Premier League. We'll start with Spurs versus Chelsea. It wasn't the only game that went on in London on the weekend, but we'll start there and we'll get progressively more into it. Hazard played up front.
He did. Yeah.
He tried.
Did an all right job.
Yeah, he looked like
he cared. Scoring a goal.
Very well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's very pointed, isn't it? The one week where Falcao's injured and Loic Remy is about to become a dad, so Costa's the only striker available, he doesn't play him.
Yeah.
Because he said after the game, Costa's privileged or has been privileged up to now to not be dropped because he's dropped Terry, Matic, Cahill, Fabregas, everyone.
Yep.
But not Costa up until this point. So, you know, that's a sort of little dig afterwards. He said that, you know, the bib thing is good because he should be angry that he's not playing. But it's mixed messages. Again, isn't he? He needs that book.
He can't handle the narrative, can he, really? He can't. The press have kind of got him over a barrel in certain respects. He can't control his own players. He can't control their outward emotions and frustrations. So they can't. So he just doesn't look like he's in charge at the moment, does he?
No, he's not. He's used to creating the narrative.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the narrative has been created all around him.
Yes.
And Jose Mourinho, walking through the story that is Chelsea Football Club at the moment, is not making...
He's a passenger, Marcus.
He's a passenger, and he doesn't want to be.
No.
Well, he thought they deserved a win, didn't he? He talked up the performance a lot.
They were much better than they have been.
They're better than they have been, but they were still second best to Spurs. Spurs were just sort of better everywhere.
I think
on target and possession, all of it.
I think Chelsea played against Spurs as well as they could have done under the circumstances, because they didn't have much up top. I know Hazard had a good game and stuff, but I think they played very deep and on the counter, and that's kind of how you can beat Spurs, I think, at their own game almost.
Mm. I think a point away to Spurs isn't a bad result at the moment.
Not this season, but not for Chelsea.
No, that's right. Well, a clean sheet as well.
Yeah, well,
of course, it's a good result, but what I think is that Mourinho is trying to make it sound to the players like the performance was perhaps better than it was, so that they feel like, so that in their heads it's almost like a win, and they can just sort of reset themselves, go into the next game with some confidence, and finally dig themselves out of this ridiculous mire that they find themselves in.
Well, I suppose it will be an important point, because they're looking over their shoulder at the relegation zone.
They are. I mean, they're up to 14th, so it's a big point for them.
That is not a stupid thing to say. It seems every time you sort of think, oh well, Chelsea, you know, obviously they're, you know, quite close to the relegation zone. It's obviously, like a handful of games ago, it was a bit of a dig.
Mm.
It's reality. They are in a relegation fight.
Anyone near those relegation places are in a relegation fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be great news for Bournemouth. Villa, Newcastle and Chelsea are so bad.
Yeah. That'd be a weird trio, wouldn't it? Chelsea, Villa and Newcastle.
Yeah.
Fairly big clubs.
Yeah.
Well, huge clubs. Don't do the three of them a disservice, Peter.
Mm.
They did themselves a disservice on the weekend. Shall we?
Yeah, all right then.
Okay then.
The Donaldson Derby.
I am really pleased with the performance. We were terrific. We were really good today. The win was Pardew's 100th win as a Premier League manager, and the first time that Crystal Palace have scored 5 goals in a Premier League match.
Yeah, setting records. Trailblazing.
Oh, what he said after Donaldson. The game.
He was actually genuinely quite sort of humble after the game. He said...
Because he knew he couldn't get away with it.
People say all kinds of things about me in Newcastle. They say I'm smug or whatever.
Says the world's smuggest bastard.
And he wished them well. And then he said, on top of that, almost to completely, you know, disprove what he just said, he said, regardless of what opposition we played, I think we'd have won today. But what he meant was Jimmy Nail, Ant, Sting, Deck, Pete Donaldson, your boys took one hell of a beating. Sky put the boot in as well on their minute by minute. I'm just going to read some highlights for you.
Why
here,
are you doing
Pete,
that?
That I've compiled. Because I was effectively watching it on a train. So, 4 minutes, 0-0. Newcastle have their first little foray into the Palace half, and Sissoko whips a decent looking cross into the area, but it avoids all his players. 22 minutes, 2-1. Palace have Newcastle well and truly pinned back at the moment. They clearly weren't watching how Sunderland dealt with them on Monday night. 56 minutes. Alan Pardew's name rings around Selhurst Park as his team knock the ball around comfortably in midfield under very little pressure from Newcastle. And this is the worst one. 62 minutes at 4-1. Jack Colback is not very good at taking corners.
Oh,
that's Sky!
That is a dig.
The problem was the two corners he did take were both at the where the away supporters were, right in the corner, as did Kabay. Actually, he didn't enjoy himself.
No,
as soon as he realised he had to take the penalty right next to the Newcastle support, he just went and applauded the Selhurst massive. I was watching it from a train, the pain train, Jim.
Yeah,
that's what I was doing.
Obviously, it was part of his 100th Premier League victory as a manager. That's great for him. But he did say after the game, and I don't know if you're one of the people he's talking about, he says, "I have got people I love at that club, fans, staff and players, but whatever I say about Newcastle is contrived, so I don't want to say anything other than I hope their fortunes change."
Yeah, it's big of him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big of him.
Are you one of the fans?
Gigantic.
But before all that happened, Newcastle went 1-0 up, Peter.
Yeah, didn't see that goal because I was late into the ground. That's the worst thing. The frisking took too long, and I missed our Ronnie goal.
Oh my god! The goal was a little suspicious, actually, Pete, because Palace really, honestly, didn't look like they were trying. To the point where I think Pardew's gone, "Go on, give him a head start. Let's really show him what we got."
There's something very undignified losing to a team that have goal music.
The only
I was not feeling glad.
I do
all
agree
over.
With you. I do agree with that. The only globule of joy that you could have experienced the whole
taken away.
You missed
even that full sense of
what,
you know,
a dreadful day.
Oh, God.
Donaldson's
God.
Dreadful day.
It was.
Hear? They actually put on extra security at London
what,
Zoo.
Pete was there
in case the travelling Geordies wanted to go and beat up some animals to take out frustration.
Some odd-toed ungulates. like a camel or something.
Those pigeons at Trafalgar Square, no one inside.
Yeah, just gone.
None of them. Well, I missed the eagle.
Oh, did you?
I missed the full version of Glad All Over.
Yeah.
Well, you got it in snippets throughout. You probably got the whole thing in its entirety.
I got five choruses of it. Oh, flipping it.
Mind your language.
But I mean, Pete, every goal that was going on, I was like, that poor fucking Sandy. Oh, dear.
I've got to be honest, right? When I was taking my notes for this, I'd written loads of them before I remembered that I hadn't actually seen the game yet.
Pete Donaldson.
I still haven't seen Shola's goal. I refused to watch it. Rest of the Day, for crying out loud. No, it was... It didn't need to be...
Did you say Shola's goal?
Sorry,
what
did I say?
Season's
goal, sorry. I'm
obsessed. You're hallucinating better times.
Because I was talking about Shola before.
Which Shola ran me over. How bad is that?
Because I was talking about Shola just before we started, because he's not being paid by Bolton. I'm just remembering happier times, you know. He scored against Barcelona once.
God.
It didn't need to be any sort of performance from Ballas, really. They didn't need to.
Newcastle were abject.
So, my mate Brian made a good point that whenever Colaccini doesn't play, play this time, but
he
seems to be undroppable because the only defensive line they have is a defensive line that follows Colaccini. Yeah. And he got beaten for piss so many times by, like, Balassi and a couple of others.
He's knocking on now, isn't he? He's had some injuries.
I know, but, like. Well, then he shouldn't be playing, you know what I mean? Even at full pelt, he just can't. He just could not. He was beaten for piss by Balassi and beaten for position, by everybody else. I just think that the amount of 50-50 headers he lost was just incredible for a man of his stature and a man of his.
An experienced defender.
Argentinian international, for crying out loud. At this very moment in time. Taylor and Bemba, just go for them. The two centre backs. But I mean, Luke De Jong even stuck the boot in. Luke De Jong, for crying out loud!
What did he say?
He just tweeted, maybe it's time for a change.
It's terrible for McLaren, isn't it? But the thing is, he said after the game that there was basically no commitment and desire there. I forget the exact word he used, but
that was around that kind of point.
But he looks absolutely beleaguered by how this team just aren't playing. And it's the point you've made so many times, Peter. It's those shop window players, isn't it, that can't seem to be bothered in these games.
And also just the mentality of that team. No matter how... Every week we get an email, if you're part of the Newcastle email list or whatever, directly from the manager saying, we won't be complacent, we'll do our very best to win this game. And we've learnt the lessons from last week. It's just crap. Either do it or don't do it. Just don't send me emails and tweet that, you know, the constant Lee Ryder puff pieces that they put out up in the northeast about how this is going to be different, how the green shoots of recovery have been found with some of the younger players and stuff. It's all crap. They're too young. They're too inexperienced. Mm. They don't listen to orders and they can't follow orders. And fundamentally, they know how to attack when it's 0-0, where there's something to play for. But as soon as they go 1-0 down, their heads go down and they can't turn anything round. It's obscene a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is, again, my mate Brian said, at one point in Newcastle's history, a loss like that, a complete travesty of a performance, you'd spend the week sort of going, that was absolute crap. Yeah. You brush it off after a couple of days because that's just how Newcastle play at the moment. They're so inconsistent, they just can't get their arses together. And they're in a relegation fight once again. Yeah. Once again.
Yeah, I think part of it is when I think of Newcastle being in a relegation fight, even having watched them plenty of times this season and knowing just how poor they've been, I just think, nah.
Yeah. Now how is this happening again?
They'll get their way out of it. And it seems like the players think that as well. That it's just, you know, the goals will score themselves eventually and they don't really have to try.
Mm. I mean, McLaren said of his players that they're not doing it for each other, and sometimes it's not about me, it's about each other. When you're a player, it's about peer pressure. It's about not letting him down next to him and next to him. And at the present moment, we've not got that. And you do wonder, like, I wouldn't struggle to believe that McLaren really cares. Of course he does. I know McLaren has had shortcomings in other positions, so I'm not saying, well, if they can't listen to McLaren, who can they listen to? But I don't think McLaren is this bad. I think McLaren, he's a decent coach.
I think he's surprised how fragmented that team is on the field.
Yeah, and I actually am not particularly looking at McLaren from where I'm standing at all this. I think that you look at those players, and as you said it as well, Jim, those shop window players. Mm. But what I don't understand about that type of player is, well, if you want a big move, you've got to perform.
And this is the time to do it, coming in December, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Maybe they're like plotting some sort of great escape. We'll just lay off till about
February?
Yeah.
And then we'll try and we'll look amazing and we'll get a move when the window opens.
They saw Jonas score on the last game of the season against West Ham last season.
Another
relegation battle.
Yeah.
And they went, I want a bit of that. Yeah, brilliant. I might get a move somewhere sunny.
Well, we're not going to be in a title challenge, so we'll be in a relegation fight. Yeah. That's where we get
like
the glory.
A sort of opposite land one. It's really weird. I mean, in a situation like this, often you think sometimes the worst case scenario might actually be the best thing for the club because they can get relegated, regroup, come back up, and sort of re-establish themselves. Well, but you've already done that. It's like the equivalent of turning the computer off and on again, and then the virus is still there.
I think it's just a picture
of Mike Ashley going
But at least when they did go down and came back up, you had slightly more experienced players like Barton, like Nolan, and players like that. This time round, we haven't got anybody.
Well, it is the players like Coloccini, isn't it? Mm. It's the exact ones who aren't doing enough.
I think it would be a disaster if Newcastle went down.
I think
if you look at, say, someone like Fulham as well, when they went down, and QPR, but to a lesser extent QPR, because they were a bit of a mess. But if you look at Fulham, they've gone down, and Fulham you can't see them going back up.
Newcastle are a bigger club than Fulham.
Oh no, of course they're a bigger club than Fulham. But what I mean is that Fulham lost a lot of players. They just, as Pete says, you know, Newcastle had a few players and a few core players when they went down last time, and then came straight back up quite convincingly. I think Newcastle, they don't want to be a side that spends 3 or 4 seasons in the Championship. Do you know what I mean? And that could seriously happen with Newcastle if they did go down. It really is dire straits.
We've got an Ajax captain on the bench.
Former captain.
Yeah. That would be weird.
He's not alone.
Get relegated for breaching the rule.
I just think that there are certain easy things that you get right. Just learn, just teach them how to hold a line. They probably looked a little bit better when they went 3-5-2, which is not the best thing to do when you're 3-1 down. But just be a little bit more creative and a little bit and play a system that you know.
Play a system that they know, but that, as we keep saying, the squad is so fragmented. Mm. What do they know?
No.
Do you think McLaren just speaks in the accent of the players that are
maybe
from different places? A little bit of a Dutch clique there, isn't there? Maybe just going around doing that voice. Yeah. Maybe he should be doing that because he had some credibility then, weirdly.
Yeah, he did very well in the Netherlands, didn't he?
First time around, yeah.
But are there players that he should bring in? I mean, what should he do differently then? Or what can be? Is it just a big old mess that
it's 5 years? It's the fruits of having 5 years where you have a squad that's been underinvested in, and there's no strength or depth. There's no defence to speak of, and the only decent defender we've got is Chancellor Mbemba, and he is the first central defender we've bought in bloody ages that could kick a football. Mm. It's so disappointing to see. Left back and right back can't defend. They can't even block a cross, for crying out loud. Just get that right. Stop them whipping balls in.
Yeah, Balassi just had an absolute field day.
He had so much fun down the right. Yeah. So much fun.
And he's a player that doesn't score very often and should score more goals.
He had a few,
and you think for a player of his quality he would get more, but he had so much space in that game that it was a perfect moment.
The volley that bounced over Elliot, I was just, as soon as it bounced on the floor, I was like, I audibly went, oh, for... shouted the swear word because I knew exactly where it was going to go.
Was that the goal? I think even the Palace fans celebrated that one before it had crossed the line.
They knew it was in.
Yeah.
Well, Newcastle's next three games, Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, with Liverpool pressing them, Liverpool, they're pressing.
It could be about 10-0.
That could be bad. Spurs.
Yeah, same. Again, pressing game.
Aston Villa.
Yeah, 3 points.
Better hope on the horizon.
God. I think it just looks like Newcastle, those players, and I think McLaren is obviously of this mindset. They need to get into the mindset that this is a relegation battle. Every game is try as hard as you can to get anything from it.
Yeah, I think this is the first time that McLaren's ever managed a team that are just completely feckless. Like, you've always got like decent players and poor players, and you've got to kind of have a nice mix of them. But they're too young, they're too naive, and they're too stupid to follow instructions for my money.
And some of them clearly aren't caring.
No. Exactly, and everyone just. But if you set up your team, if you say it to a player, have a couple of years here, and you get your move to Seville. or
yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, like or a bigger club, so to speak. And the younger players will just sort of get pulled in by that, and they forget that they have to perform. Mm. They have to win themselves a win, win themselves a move rather.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the whole stupid thing. That there is no excuse for a footballer not trying, because as you say, if they want the better move, you've got to play your way out there.
I think even McLaren's surprised at the level of...
McLaren clearly cannot believe how the club has been run, as you say, in the last sort of 5 years or whatever it's been, and the squad that he's got. But my goodness, yeah, I hate to think what will happen against Liverpool. But you never know in this Premier League.
Is it a telly game? If it's a telly game, everyone seems to, put in some sort of performance. But away at Crystal Palace, on a cold November night.
We'll see another 4-3 Liverpool Newcastle. Classic games. That'll be lovely.
There'll be a four-man
number
somewhere.
Of goals in.
You'd take that now. Now.
Yeah, probably would.
We're going to talk about Jamie Vardy, Bournemouth and Everton, and more after this.
I'm Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Little mench for the tube there. Leicester City 1, Manchester United 1. Jamie Vardy broke the record.
He's done it.
The ever so likable Jamie Vardy has broke the record, scoring in 11 consecutive league matches. What a blooming feat, yes, Jim.
Absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Chat shit, score goals. Woo!
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot has been made of how Jimmy Dunn has the real record.
Yes.
Because, football existed before. It's 1992.
Yeah.
Did he abuse a man in a casino?
No, he didn't.
Well, we don't know.
He's scary. Well, we do know.
No, about Jimmy Dunn.
Oh, right, okay, good.
Was it 1930? Something like that. Yeah. It was a long, long time ago. Yeah. But I think, come on, give him his moment. It's incredible.
Oh, it's been. But you are right, just to stay on that point for a sec, that we always say in the Premier League's history, but it's the same top flight league.
Absolutely.
So many records get forgotten.
It's a real shame.
A lot of great players are forgotten.
Yeah. And
because it's just very convenient to kind of bracket it up there.
It's a very weird approach to history, isn't it? To disregard most of it while celebrating it.
Yeah.
It's a very strange thing.
Because if it's a Champions League kind of vibe, a European Cup, it's the tournament is bigger in the Champions League, so I can kind of understand. Yeah. You have to win more games, there's a bit more quality in there, so I can maybe see the thinking behind talking about Champions League awards and all that kind of stuff, but it should be in English top flight history rather than Premier League history.
It should, but hopefully he can do it, because I mean that might be the extra little thing that spurs him on to try and keep going.
To get a bigger move. he's absolutely not worried, is he? I'd like him to keep on scoring right up and through the Euros and England win it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that would work for everyone, that. I think, yeah. Good.
Gerd Müller once got 16 in a row, which is obviously pretty impressive. Lionel Messi, 21.
No,
seriously, 21.
Wow.
I think it's the 21st game was something like his 45th and 46th goals of the season as well. Crazy.
If Gonzalo Higuain can score in Napoli's home match with Inter tonight, he'll equal Diego Maradona's record of scoring in 8 consecutive home games for the club. At the time of recording, that's not been played yet.
Loads of goals.
Goals everywhere,
mate.
Same
men. That's the kind of analysis you get on this show.
Yeah. Oh, Schweinsteiger scored. That's not the same man.
No.
He got one.
He did. That was a really, really strong goal, that.
Yeah. Like a diving header that close to the
with basically
everybody.
A man hanging off of it.
I sometimes forget that Schweinsteiger is playing for Manchester United. I'm like, that's Bastian Schweinsteiger, one of the best midfielders in Europe in the last 10 years.
He's really coming to form
phenomenal
of late as well.
Mm.
It took a while, and he had a rough afternoon against Arsenal. He had a couple of performances where
they
certainly did, didn't they? Huh?
He's lost a bit of piss.
Time ago, that feels.
Yeah. Unlike Norwich City.
No, yeah. At least you beat Norwich, Pete.
Yeah.
And
Bournemouth.
But he's really, really coming into his own in that midfield.
It's a bit of a battle for that midfield at Manchester United.
But that's that's obviously what's healthy about it. It's a shame they're so blunt up front, because they've got a platform to build on. Just no one seems that into it.
It's true. With Manchester United, I think that there was people perhaps of the mindset of, right, Leicester City, you've had your fun. Vardy, you've had too much fun.
Yeah.
And yet he scored the goal and they got a point and perhaps should have won the game. I mean, Ujoa had that chance.
Yeah, he did.
I know Manchester United went close as well.
A bit nosebleedy though, wasn't it? You thought they didn't really believe they could win that game.
Yeah, possibly. But the fact of the matter is they didn't lose it, which is vitally
Kicks
important.
The run going. Yeah, it's a great point.
It is a good point. It could have been more and they should build from that. I mean, they've had a reasonably nice run, if there is such a thing in the Premier League. I think there is, even this season. But it's good for Vardy that he got a goal against the best defence in the league. You know, he scored against Arsenal. You know, there have been some top sides in that list of teams that he scored against.
He's just so clinical, though, isn't he?
It doesn't seem...
Like, I know it's a strange thing to say, saying that it looked like Leicester didn't quite believe they could win it. Vardy does not seem to play like that at all, which is why it'd be great to see him get a start for England, because that's so important.
He was due a start for these friendlies, indeed, of course, and he was injured, which Hodgson was a little bit aggrieved about. But, that's in the past, and he'll be on for the next one, you would certainly hope. But Manchester United, they still don't look that inspiring, do they, going forward? Yet there they are, only 1 point off the top.
No,
it's just, point still behind Leicester.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Well, I think the really good thing about Leicester's performance, just that pass from Fuchs, like the left back over there.
Yep.
On the, he's clearly like, it was just after a Manchester United corner, wasn't it? So he kind of found himself in that position. But it was a beautiful pass. Vardy saw direct, pointing where he wanted the ball to go. And,
with his fingers, with his chin, with his knees, with his nose.
A very pointy man. Very pointy elven
Maybe
man.
Maybe that's how his teammates keep finding him so much.
I'd love
he's
to.
Like, he's like a Google Maps thing where you drop a pin in it.
I'd love to know how Ranieri's got the best out of that squad.
Pizza, mate.
It's maybe it
powerful
is.
Pizza, thing. More pizza.
It is strange, isn't it? We talk about Newcastle not getting anything out of those players. Now, I know there's a lot of factors involved. And Leicester have made a few signings. But that squad just about survived relegation last season under Nigel Pearson. Such a change of tack. I know he keeps saying it, but they keep doing well. It keeps coming up, doesn't it, in conversation?
Yeah. Imagine
Ranieri
gets
just
38 goals, scores in 38 games in a row, and they win the league. It'd be brilliant.
It's because remarkable.
Because this league is a bit like, poor is the wrong word, because it is really entertaining because the bigger sides keep dropping points. Like,
it's upsy downsy.
Yeah, it's more unpredictable. We say it every season, and every season we go, it will be one of the usual suspects that win it, because it, of course it will. But how amazing would it be if just once someone like Leicester won the Premier League?
Well, it's like Blackburn won it. I know they spent a lot of money, but I mean, a very unfashionable club winning the Premier League.
It's true. It is weird looking back at the history records of the Premier League. I know we were just mocking those records, but all right, England's top flight. When you see all the Manchester United ones, and obviously Chelsea latterly came.
Did Leeds come close the first year of the Premier League? Or was that
the season before? They had a really terrible defence of their title in the first season of the Premier League.
Right, okay, yeah.
I mean, under O'Leary, they were not too far off, but not really challenging too much. But yeah, when you see the name Blackburn Rovers in there, it is quite a funny one. Yeah. You think, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
That is a strange one.
Because then you think of them in the Champions League as well.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's when Lasso and David Batty punched each other.
And a chinnies.
Funny one. So, did you, sorry to cut in there, Marcus, did you see the thing with Danny Simpson this week?
He
was in the tabloids being criticised. He's doing some community service because he's been very naughty.
Okay.
But he's been doing it at a charity shop. Mm. And the tabloids were running this thing about how callous Danny Simpson turns up to charity work in his £3 billion Lamborghini. Oh, God, he's so out of touch. He doesn't know what it's like to be a real person. It's like, that's his car. What do you expect him to do? Like, hire a smart car and turn up and be humble?
Get a Trotters Independent Traders Morris Minor job or something?
Struggling for stories, were we, boys?
Sickening.
Absolutely ridiculous. What was wonderful, though, was Bournemouth 3, Everton 3. John Motson couldn't believe his luck in the commentary box.
John Motson's just happy to be outside at this point, though, isn't he? No, but he is. He sounds so excitable all the time, and it's lovely.
It is lovely.
Because they only give him one game now, and he used to be the main man on Match of the Day.
Yeah.
It's still nice to hear his voice.
Well, he can't have two games. Can't be commentator on two games, Jim, can he?
He can only have one.
A good point, but it really feels
it was
like
weird that he did every one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, really strange.
No, but he's been very much relegated, hasn't he, to sort of further down the pecking order.
I don't think he's really. He's probably chosen to take a step back.
Who knows? Either way, it's nice to hear him.
Lovely to hear his voice.
I should do a correction from last week, actually. I said that Luke Garbutt was the left back who's tearing it up for Everton, but it is, of course, David Unsworth. No, Brendan Galloway. Brendan Galloway. That's a great time. I got my young Everton left backs beginning with a G mixed up.
You always do that. You weirdo. Fantastic.
Shola Rami.
It was a great end to that match, wasn't it? Everton looking good 2-0 up, but Bournemouth, great character. Great character. Mm. And again, it's the not losing that is so vitally important for a side like that who are down there, you know, in the relegation zone, of course.
Adam Smith scored possibly the goal of the season.
It was,
and I say
it was
that
superb, wasn't it?
In an aesthetic sense, it was so pleasing. It bent, hit the post, sort of like the bit of the post that's just underneath the bar, and then rolled over the net. Yeah. It's just that, all three of those things are so brilliant.
He had the air of a man who was as if to say, we need a goal, right, let's get a goal. Yeah. There we go. Come on.
You just know what noise that would make if there was nobody in the ground. It'd be like, it'd be a thwomp, and then a as it went off the net.
Yeah, just be joyous.
That was right, yeah. Got them going again, back to 2-2. Joshua King, he looks lively.
Yes, he does.
Nice setup.
He had a bit of criticism from a few people, saying he wasn't sort of, you know,
up to it.
He was given man of the match.
I mean, before this, but he's sort of playing his way into form, and that's really, really good for Bournemouth. I mean, it's gutting for them to not win the game, but obviously, you know, but in conceding that goal in like what, the 95th minute, and then getting an equaliser in the mystery 98th minute. Yeah. Still, I don't know if anyone saw this. Why was that time added on? Was that ever?
I'm not sure.
I heard it. It was a pitch invasion by the Everton fans.
I heard.
So they were literally.
Yeah.
Not
hoisted
literally,
by their own.
Hoisted by their own. Petards.
Yeah. Well, because obviously you add on a little bit, is it 30 seconds?
30 seconds for a goal or a substitution.
Yeah, but there was a pitch invasion, you're right. And had they have been more disciplined with their celebration, always be disciplined with your celebration.
You never know what's going to happen around the corner.
That's right.
It's so funny watching that pitch invasion because, like, there are about.
3-2 away to Bournemouth.
About 10 Everton fans on the pitch.
Not the semi-final of the FA Cup, is it?
No, but even so, it's purely proximity, isn't it? It's just because they're so close they could.
Oh,
fair enough.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
But they'd sort of got onto the pitch and didn't really know what to do, so they just stood there punching the air. You know the characters in the background on Street Fighter that just make the same moves over and over again? They just sort of looked like that. They didn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Here's a quick highlight of the week I want to chuck in.
Go on.
Laura Kirk says, one of my highlights of the week was my mum screaming so loudly at the Bournemouth equaliser that my cat was sick all over the carpet.
That is brilliant.
Hashtag the beautiful game.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Man.
Howe looked broken at 3-2. It was so good to see him restored.
It was. I think, and he felt restored, didn't he? He was in the presser after. He was just like, oh, yeah, bloody football.
Mm.
Martinez wanted more from Barkley this season. Certainly got it. Six goals and five assists.
He's just tearing it up. It's great.
Yeah. Bournemouth off to Stamford Bridge next.
I like Ross Barkley, but I am frightened of him. He looks like he'd bully you at school, doesn't he?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, I reckon so.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think Everton need to sort themselves out playing against teams who whip the ball in the box quite well. They can't defend against it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They find it very difficult.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, Stanislas, he had a nice time.
So much space to do that. Silly. Lukaku, again, was superb. You know, we talk quite a lot. One of the narratives of this season seems to be, certainly the last transfer window, is this shortage of top strikers. Mm. Lukaku's got to be in that bracket, surely. How long can Everton hold on to him? Especially if he has, like, a good Euros.
Mm. I think he's got 10 this season, which is the same that he got in total last season.
Didn't he recently become only like the fifth player under 23 to get 50 Premier League goals or something like that?
Yeah, he's on 52, I think. Yeah. Yeah. There's a stat.
There's a
potential stat. Sunderland, eh? Oh, yeah. They're on the march.
That's how you do it, the North East.
Another win, another clean sheet for Sunderland and Sam. They are on the march. Bad news for every other team down there, Peter.
Duncan Watmore got a goal. He also got a degree from Newcastle University.
He's
getting it next week or something like that.
Well, he's scored loads of goals for the under-21s, and that doesn't always translate, but he seems to be a crowd favourite up there.
Well, he took his chance. I mean, came in for Defoe, obviously, he got injured. And it's only his second goal for the club, but full of energy. And one of those players that gives the fans something to cheer and get behind. Lively.
Defoe himself, actually, you know, he was on the bench when Allardyce first came in and was very publicly unhappy about that. But now he's playing
leaving.
Really, really well. And, you know, he's just sort of, you know, really getting stuck in as well and pressing. Mm-hmm. And that is clearly one of the things Allardyce has done. He's come in there and he's motivated the player incredibly by dropping him. So the man management there is working really, really well. Mm. And you got to praise him for that.
When he got the goal at Palace as well, did old Defoe. They were aided, though, by Ryan Shawcross's sending off. Do you think it was a sending off? I mean, the first one was definite.
Mistake.
I thought the first one could have been a straight red, could it not? A blatant trip, well off the ball.
Mm.
It's one of those things, isn't
deliberate.
It? Teams like Stoke, maybe this is just me imagining this, but teams that are physical tend to get a bit more leeway.
Yeah, because they think something worse might come along later on. So the referee goes, I'm not going to send it off now because something's bound to come up later on.
Yeah, partly. I'm fascinated. I mean, how bad can it get? If I book him for this, let's see how he ups his game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is true. Another great win for Watford.
Yeah.
Away at Aston Villa. They're scoring lots of goals, which is always a good thing.
Yeah,
Jim.
Igalo. There was a stat on Match of the Day. Igalo's got the most league goals of any player this calendar year, isn't he?
Which is
great, and he's just firing them through it. Deeney started to score.
Great header from Deeney.
Yeah,
really, really
he's
satisfying.
A Birmingham City
one.
Fan, isn't he?
He said he wanted to score at the whole end. Didn't
he's
he?
Very. He's very. I don't know. There's no love lost between Troy Deeney and Villa, is there?
Really?
He's
not.
He's not. He doesn't like him at all.
Because he's not one to hide his feelings, though.
No,
he was in the youth ranks, wasn't he?
He was because he was not good enough. I think he did. Had a trial for 4 days, and he said I didn't turn up for the first 3 days because I knew there'd be a match on the last day. I was like, well, you're not going to get to play in the match if you don't turn up for the first 3 days. So maybe they were right to fire him off.
Have less sympathy for him now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're on 19 points already this season, which they would have bitten your hand off.
Yeah, definitely.
Micah Richards looked so emotional when they went 3-1 down.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I don't know, something about seeing a grown man either in tears or on the verge of tears really makes me sad. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, he... I think
should have come to football, maybe, Jim.
I was going to say. But at least with Villa, like there's a man, when he scored, he was so pumped up. But at least with some of their players, I'm sure Villa fans have got very strong opinions on what's going on, but at least some of their players look like they're trying. You know what I mean? I mean, Ayew scored a great one at the end.
Yeah, that was another one, just scored in anger, wasn't it? Just like, this has to go in, so I'm just going to do it.
But 5 points from 14 games, I mean, that really is, and you're thinking of that Derby County record. Surely not. Surely not.
Surely not Villa.
Not Villa.
Not with that manager at the helm as well. He's fairly well regarded. Mm. I don't know.
Is that a pun?
Say again. Regarded. Oh yeah, could be.
Yeah, an accidental.
I love
pun.
It.
Let's move on to the Championship. Brighton still unbeaten after 18 games this
slamming
season.
Slamming it. And James Wilson's gone on loan from Man United as well. He had a good chance, which he didn't take. Mm. But you know, they have struggled to score despite being unbeaten. They've just been very very tight at the back. Mm. And if he can add some goals there.
Mm. Yeah, but they've drawn a lot of games. They've drawn 8 out of 18, which is why obviously they're not further away. I think they're 2 points above Middlesbrough. The last time they lost in the league was against Watford in April, which is quite remarkable.
I do worry about Chris Hughton because he's another one of those not allowed on the bed dogs. Like, they're running out, gone.
No.
But come on.
He's doing a great job, it would certainly suggest. And Bobby Zamora back at the club, he scored again. 4
It was his first start as well, wasn't it, since coming back?
Mm.
And he scored at home. That's what they wanted.
Well, they've got goals. They've got a few people scoring. Obviously, Israeli striker Tom Ahmed, I think it's pronounced, he's got 5. And Kazenga Lualua among the goals as well.
Mm.
So they're in good shapes. They're in good shapes. Big win for Derby at Hull.
Yeah.
Enormous win.
Butterfield, just 2 absolute belters from outside the box.
Well, and Paul Clement, he's having a good time at Derby. They've started very well. They've won, I think, 10 of their last 13. Well, Stevie Bruce's boys, they're still up in the promotion contention.
Mm. Mm. They've got a good centre-back, Harry Maguire. Mm. Really, really good. He's massive, but he just looks like a really cultured footballer. He's got that kind of... You know when people just glide along the turf, like your Hullets and your players like that?
Kaká and his Hayden.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, not that good, but you know
true.
What I mean. Sam Wingrove on the Highlights of the Week says, regarding the Bobby Zamora goal, he scored in consecutive home starts for Brighton, the previous game being 12 years ago versus Watford, which is lovely.
That's great.
I think it's
Watford
wonderful.
Again, what a world.
Again, providing entertainment for football in a way. We're going to talk about League One and League Two after this little jingy.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Don't forget, this Friday we have the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365, previewing some of the games in the Premier League on that Friday. We will have a bet of the week, Pete, and we didn't do too well last
No,
week.
I mean, considering no. Mitrovic didn't actually start the yeah. match.
Who picked the bet again? Who?
I think that might have been me.
It was a collective effort.
It was a yeah.
Spearheaded very much by Pete. Very much by Pete.
Yeah, sorry, charity, but I picked, we picked Mitrovic to score first and also a Newcastle United win. Newcastle did score first, let's make that very clear. And, mm-hmm. you know, Cisse is the striker, so. Well, maybe Mitrovic could have scored if he was playing up top. I mean,
yeah,
the
I mean, you take your wins where you can, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I mean, the second part of the bet didn't come true either. But
shoulda, woulda, coulda.
What are you going to do?
We were nearly.
Should have gone with Vardy
right.
again. Should have gone with Vardy.
In League One, Coventry are top, and considering the tough time the club has had in recent years, it would be quite remarkable for them to get back in the Championship so quickly. Mm. Well done to them. Gillingham 1 point behind them. They're having a good season. And Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Burton side, are right up there as well. Apparently, he will be allowed to talk to QPR if Burton are approached about him.
Mm.
Although, he'd quite like him to stay at Burton and get them up.
Yeah, definitely, because, I mean, obviously, it would be completely reasonable for him to move to a bigger club. Having done so well at Burton, I don't think anyone would begrudge him that. But a club like QPR, where they have so many sort of farcical things going on behind the scenes all the time, you would worry that that would taint his reputation when he got up to a higher level.
Yeah,
so stick it out, Jimmy.
Yeah, fantastic job he's done with Burton, especially if you can get them another promotion.
Well, or at least get close. I mean, he's had such success. I think he needs it. Maybe a season where he doesn't go up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for
right.
a bit of calm,
catch
maybe.
His breath.
Yeah,
yeah. Chesterfield, they've sacked Dean Saunders. They're down in 16th. Always a shame when you hear of a footballing, would you say great? Or certainly a footballing
there,
good.
Yeah.
Footballing good.
Villa would take them now.
they would. Peterborough had a good away win there in sixth. That leads us neatly onto Ramble favourite Graeme Wesley. Graeme Wesley, the man when he was in charge of Preston. According to Clark Carlisle, told the players that his kids don't call him dad, they call him medal winner. Also dropped players via late night texts. He's done a very
that
good
was
job.
The most partridge you have ever sounded.
Yeah, well, it was.
Via late night texts.
Well, I was sort of meaning to, Jim. He's done a very good job with the posh so far after taking over. It is very, very safe to say. They were floundering, they're now up to six. The Peterborough owner, Darren McCann, Anthony said of Wesley, "We went out for dinner last week. I love his intensity and he loves my intensity. He lives every day like it's his last. The energy he's got. He'll send me pictures of himself in the gym at 10 o'clock at night saying, right, I'm off to dinner now. If I had to get my wellies on and shovel stuff, I'd do it for this guy."
Shovel stuff?
What on earth is going on there?
It's a lot to take in, isn't
it?
There?
Is.
For everyone's wife.
did most people dine at post 10 o'clock in Peterborough?
In a gym?
Yeah. Well, you're a gym.
Yeah.
Sending pictures of himself to the chairman.
It's weird. It's like he's trying to play his way into the team that he picks.
Incredible. Good old Graeme Wesley never lets you down. In League Two, lovely scenes at the top of the table as Oxford, United, Plymouth and Northampton all on 40 points. So they're all safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, already. Portsmouth, they're fifth on 34, so still in the playoff positions. Another mention of Portsmouth while Luke's not here.
Did you see Roy Carroll's boot out for Notts County? Against,
no.
Against Kimbs, I think it was.
Okay.
He basically booted the ball at a player on the edge of the box to make the point that he was encroaching and he was too close to him booting it out. And it bounced off back off the plate and went in.
Lovely.
And it counted. Oh, Roy Carroll.
Oh, no.
Northern Ireland's Roy Carroll. He will be at the Euros.
He went from Olympiacos to... He went from Olympiacos to Notts County, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, he was either Olympiacos or... No, it was Olympiacos.
Did a little bit of a
incredible.
Tour there. Matt Derbyshire was there as well.
Yeah.
And he scored a really big goal for them. So
book
it's sort of like folk hero. I think Roy Carroll might have had a similar moment as well. It's really weird.
He didn't play that much for Olympiacos over a couple of years he was there. Mm. Yeah, that is quite...
But I can't imagine that's a well kind of one trodden route, effectively, for Olympiacos in Notts County. The oldest club in the league and all that.
Oh, yeah? Mm. Good old Roy. Shall we move on to the league? Let's.
All right, then.
Real Madrid, they beat Ibar 2-0 away, laboured to the win with goals from Bale and Ronaldo. Guillaume Balague has said that Ronaldo has reached his physical peak.
Guillaume Balague mentioning something about Ronaldo?
Yeah.
What?
He's become like this 24-hour rolling news service.
Ronaldo talkie box.
One man about one subject.
Yeah, right. He's also suggested...
It's like McAnthony and Westley. Get a room, lads.
He also suggested that Ronaldo has lost a bit of pace and doesn't beat players anymore. I love this. Ronaldo's into his 30s. Well, not peak physical form anymore. Well, most people aren't when they sort of get past 30.
You've lost a bit of scope, game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you. I've lost a mile of pace.
Country mile.
Yeah. it's kind of...
It's weird to think Ronaldo losing.
But I still, there is a kind of... there must be a fear for Ronaldo that this sort of thing is going to happen because he put so much pressure on himself to perform to this really high standard. And he's a stats man, isn't he?
And so loves much pressure
his
on his body.
Absolutely. Like, there's a point against Ibar where he hit the side netting and he looked absolutely furious with himself. I think they were 1-0 up at the time as well. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're that obsessed with your stats and whatnot, there's that much more pressure on those moments, and that maybe will wind you up a bit more, which is something he does tend to struggle with, doesn't it? If he feels things aren't going his way in a game, it often passes him by, which is something you can't really say of Messi or the other guy, as you call him.
True. I think the reason why I suggested that, or not suggested, sorry, the reason why I included that from Balague is, you're right, Jim, when Ronaldo did hit that shot against the side netting, and just a few times recently, the frustration actually I'm perhaps inventing in my own head about him, but maybe not, is last year I'd have got that, or a couple of years. And you cannot accuse him of slacking off.
No. Mm.
Certainly with regards to training. And I just... It's one of those ones, isn't it, where you've seen a footballer for so long play at the highest level, and then when he just shows a tiny little sign of... He'll probably score 5 goals next weekend. Yeah. But when he scores... And he has scored an enormous...
5 in a game this season.
Yeah, exactly.
It? Which shows how kind of potentially silly this is.
Sure, exactly. But I think it was just the first time, you know, since watching him where I thought, is he showing a little dip there? Mm. And obviously it can only really go one way. And Balague was saying that, you know, perhaps he should play as more of a conventional... centre-forward, which seems odd. I mean, you wouldn't think of Ronaldo as a target man getting on the end of...
Do you think Balague's reduced... angling for Benitez's his job?
Yeah. But we'll refuse it if offered. strange times. Whereas Barcelona, they are not...
Just romping it.
...getting up anytime soon. I mean, Messi, the first goal since his injury. Suarez's lovely volley.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Lovely
wasn't it?
Volley.
Messi looked a bit annoyed with himself, actually, funnily enough, given what I've just said, until the goal. You could tell he really wanted to get on the score sheet. And this is a great quote from Luis Enrique about the three of them. Messi, Suarez and Neymar get along very well, and if they don't all score, then the party is not complete for them.
That's nice.
You could see, like, the three of them were delighted when all three of them had scored.
Yes.
And Messi, it looked like a weight off him.
Yeah, Neymar, a bit greedy.
Well, getting 2 goals.
Yeah, getting 2.
Come on, Neymar. Do you see his build-up work to the Messi goal as well?
Yeah, it's just
perfect
ridiculous.
Little flick. And it's, oh, God.
Yep, that's it.
It'd be better for the teams just to not turn up, take a 3-0er, just be thrown out of the league almost.
It's true. That's it. Yeah, great win for them. Valencia, they are now managerless. Nuno Santo has resigned. Frank Rijkaard and Michael Laudrup, early contenders, have seen him. Great to see Frank Rijkaard's name.
Yeah. Yep.
Very strange, Frank Rijkaard, with his contribution to football management, because he was in charge of the Dutch and then obviously was superb for Barcelona, and a lot of his good work at Barcelona is often overlooked.
Yeah, because they were in turmoil when he took over.
Yeah, they weren't in too good shakes, and he won the Champions League there, and he brought Messi through, and they had a great attacking trio. I think, was it Messi, Ronaldinho and Henri for a while? Or certainly for a short period.
Henri might have joined when Guardiola came.
Oh, was it?
But they had
right.
Deco there, and
yeah, Deco was there, and Eto'o was probably there as well. You know, they had a great side, and he got them going. And obviously, Guardiola built from that and then took them to a different level. But, you know, after managing Barcelona, he went to Galatasaray for a short while. It just didn't work out there. And then he managed Saudi Arabia for a bit and hasn't been as a number one for a while. And you think for a guy...
it's a big name to just be...
But he was at Barcelona 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And what he achieved there...
Well, he laid the foundations for Pep's work, didn't he?
Yeah. Which it just seems quite strange.
Get him back in.
Get him back in.
Would you like him at Newcastle? Be a good job, wouldn't it?
Oh, I just don't even care anymore.
We've moved on,
guys.
We're talking about Spain. Let him enjoy this. But until they do get someone, big Phil Neville's in charge.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
He'll be doing his ejaculating in the dugout, won't he?
Should probably explain that for anyone who doesn't know.
Just leave it.
He tweeted, didn't he, when he arrived there, that
he went
in
for a run.
Very broken Spanish.
He went for a run on the beach.
Yeah. But what he actually said in Spanish was, I've just been ejaculating on the beach.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We
take
assume...
that, take that, crabs.
We assume that he got his Spanish mixed up there. Mm. But wouldn't it be great to see Phil Neville in charge of a Spanish top-line game?
I did read that Gian Balaguer did have a comment about Phil Neville being a good manager and a good fit for that club.
Did he?
So there we go.
Obviously, yeah.
So there we go.
How does he know all these things?
It's good practice for when he takes over at Salford.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's what I would say. Now we go to the highlights of the week with Pete Donaldson.
Whoa.
What's that all about? The old highlights of the week? Yeah. I'm just on Twitter now.
I am going to chip in with a couple of my highlights.
All right, then.
Romarinho. Romario's son has joined second division Japanese side Zwengen Kanazawa. Pete, you're a fan of the Japanese second division?
I'm a fan of the region, it's just north of Nagoya. Lovely.
You've good knowledge. If that was knowledge. You've seen the Japanese second division game, haven't you?
No, it was J League. I saw the J League. It was very nice. There are a lot of Brazilians in that league. And they're usually quite old kind of plodders who know how to play a bit of football and they're just bigger than everyone else and they just bully everyone.
One of the Brazilians became, what do you call it? Is it naturalised?
Japanese naturalised. Yeah.
And he played for them.
Santos, maybe?
Could have been.
Mm. Yeah.
He played for them, and maybe even in a World Cup. But I did like what Romarinho said. I'm pleased to join such a great club as Zwengen. I think you've never heard of them, mate. other highlight was Lucas Zidane, the Real Madrid under-17s goalkeeper, obviously son of Zinedine, getting sent off for a headbutt.
Wow.
Against Atletico Madrid under-17s.
What did you say about my aunt?
My great aunt.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't as nearly as good as his dad's headbutt. It was one of those... No.
Well, he's young. Some
rubbish.
He's
young.
He's learning.
He's learning.
Yeah.
Wait for the big stage.
One of my highlights was Wojciech Szczesny getting dropped by Roma because he was caught smoking after they got battered 6-1 by Barcelona. So lesson learned there.
Stop smoking.
Lesson learned there,
Wojciech.
Was he in the shower?
I don't actually know.
The forlorn Szczesny.
Brilliant. having a fag. It's just... Oh, dearie me. Peter.
Well, Gabby Kirshner on Twitter says, Klopp saying that it was a big plus for the whole team that Mignolet didn't have much to do against Swansea. That's a dig. This is quite lovely. We've got...
Well, neither did the other keeper. He only had 2 shots on goal.
Yeah. Jason Glyce says, I went on a date this weekend, so that was nice. Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Well, let us know how you get on, Jason. As long as it's clean.
As long as it's clean, indeed. We're just going down a little bit here. Niall Mullally says, has to be Fabregas smashing the ball into Willian's face, that almost blowing his Arsenal secret agent cover. Landry Sabira says that Diego Costa being passive aggressive after months of being physically aggressive.
That's nice.
It's an improvement. Dearie me. And Kunle Demarun says Pardiol's classy concern for the current plight of Newcastle United.
Yeah.
He's a classy guy.
He's a classy guy. Goodness me. Carlton Cole's goal. A lot of people go for that as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Josh came in with that one as well.
If you haven't seen Carlton Cole's goal for Celtic, it is wonderful.
Because he didn't see it.
Didn't. I don't know if it was actually credited to him or it was an own goal.
It was dreadful, wasn't it?
Goodness. A scrappy one.
Yeah.
Maybe they just won't even bother with that one.
Yeah. Dubious goals panel, like, oh, you decide. Just give it to Carlton.
Kevin Cross says, my glade Edgar Davids are tweeting a picture when football was good with him, Henri, Salgado and Del Piero together. God, I'm old, he says. And funny for now, Ben Stevens says, drunk Leicester City fans by my house singing, we're Leicester City, we're top of the league. I didn't have the heart to tell them.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Lovely.
Wunderbar.
Jim, what about a website roundup?
Yeah, I've got a website roundup. Not so much on there today or this week because Kelly's been away in Iceland.
She has.
On the big bit of volcano sick that is Iceland. but there's still some wonderful stuff up there. There is a very interesting piece about Jamie Vardy and Tyson Fury and about, you know, sort of the likability of players and whether, you know, the things they do should stop you enjoying their work. It's really, really good. Get over there and have a read. Obviously, there's the forum as well. You can get over there, voice your opinions about just anything, really. It doesn't even have to be football.
No.
Just go over there.
There's
give
lots.
Out. We'd like to give our forumites some love every now and then.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, hey, guys, nice to see you. Yeah, and, yeah, just get on it.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Get on the website.
TheFootballRamble.com. Of course, if you want to get in touch, the website, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter, @FootballRamble. You know all this.
Yeah.
You're missing out by not getting involved.
And
for those
you
who
are.
And look, for those who do get involved, thank you very much. But 4-4 Tunes is still a relatively new thing that we're involved with. And it's a wonderful thing, Peter.
It is, yeah. A guy called Dean at 4-4 Tunes, 442. Oons, if that makes any sense. YouTube.com/442oons. Check him out, and you can check out our video every week at YouTube.com/thefootballramble. /footballramble.
Yeah, it's a lovely piece of work.
Beautiful.
Subscribe
he animates
as well. Subscribe to our channel.
Yeah, and subscribe
not?
To his. What are you going to...
What else are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. You get an email, a little email every time one of us uploads something.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it on your phone now if you're listening to us on your phone.
Do it right now.
You've all got the internet.
God.
Some of you guys.
Why do we bother? Let's wrap this up.
Right. Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Bye. We might be back next week.
Yeah.
Say if goodbye. You buck your ideas up.
Yeah. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Chapeau, get banged.
Kisses like you mean it.
And this week on Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio and at absoluteradio.co.uk/listen. This weekend, we got to the London versus the Midlands, basically. West Brom entertain Spurs. And remember, if you are on the West Midlands...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more... then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Midlands. You can now listen to Absolute Radio on 105.2 FM. Tony DiRigo's back. T-Dog!